We'll be reading from Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. The book of Titus, chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Here is where Paul said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions, and genealogies, and contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." In verse 5, Paul talks about this washing of regeneration. We've looked at several passages that explain to us what Paul is talking about here by this phrase. In Ephesians 5:26, the Bible says that Jesus cleanses us with the washing of water by the Word. In John 3:5, the Bible says that we must be born of water and of the Spirit. Notice that in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, you have the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And in John 3:5, where Jesus talks about being born again, you have water and Spirit. It's washing and the Holy Ghost in Titus 3:5. It's water and Spirit in John 3:5. In Acts 22:16, Saul of Tarsus was told, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." And in Hebrews 10, verse 22, the Bible says that we as Christians have had our bodies washed with pure water. So all of these verses help us to understand Titus 3, verse 5, and that is that the washing of regeneration is baptism in water for the remission of sins. So what Paul is talking about in Titus 3, 5 by this expression is what Peter commanded in Acts 2:38 and what Jesus referred to in Mark 16:16 when he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But he also talks about a renewing of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. This means that the Holy Spirit renews or gives life to a person who is being born again. Now, Paul doesn't say that the Spirit convicts these people and converts sinners without the Bible and apart from their free will. What the Bible teaches is that when we're born again, we have obeyed the teaching or the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible says that we're born again by the Word of God. In James 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "Of his own will begat he us with the gospel." And in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15, the Bible says that Paul told the Corinthians that they had been begotten through or by the gospel. So the gospel is taught to an individual. That individual decides to obey the gospel, and when that person does obey the gospel, he is born again. And when that happens, when a person is born again, he passes from death to life. As a sinner, he is dead in sin. He is spiritually dead. But when he's converted, he passes from death to life. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 6, verse 3, "What, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So we make the transition from spiritual death to spiritual life when we're born again, when we are born of water and of the Spirit. Now, it is true that when a person is born again, he receives the Holy Spirit. But here in Titus 3, verse 5, when he talks about this renewing of the Holy Ghost, he's talking about what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit renews. He quickens, or he makes alive that sinner. And so the Bible talks about that being quickened or being made alive in Ephesians 2, verse 5. And the Bible also talks about being renewed in knowledge in Colossians 3, verse 10. Paul goes on to say in verse 8 that after we have been converted, we are to continue to do good. This is the Christian way of life. He says in verse 8, I want you to constantly affirm, Titus, as a preacher, as a teacher of Christian people especially, I want you to maintain these things. I want you to affirm constantly that the ones who have believed in God, that is those who have undergone this washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, that those people might be careful to maintain good works. Not just to do good works, but to be careful about that. In other words, to be concerned about it and to realize that this is the Christian way of life. In Galatians 6, verse 10, the Bible says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Notice in verse 8 that Paul talks about those who have believed in God, and he said that those people who have believed in God need to maintain good works in their life. So Paul definitely does not teach the idea of faith only here in Titus chapter 3, verse 8. In verse 9, he gives this teacher of the gospel another caution. And that is, he says to Titus, avoid foolish questions. You avoid these genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. Now remember that the Jews, especially these Jews who tried to tell the Gentile members of the church that they had to keep the law of Moses to be saved, those same Jews put a lot of emphasis on what Paul is talking about here. They raised some foolish questions about their religion. And they also had a lot of disputes about genealogies because the Jews put a lot of emphasis on the tribe of Israel that they came from. And so they were really interested in their family history and put a lot of emphasis on these genealogies. But he also says that there were all kinds of contentions and strivings about the law. And remember, by the law here, he's talking about the law of Moses. So remember that this is the main doctrinal problem in the book of Titus. Back in Titus 1, remember that he talks about these Jewish fables in Titus 1, verse 14. He talks about those who are of the circumcision in chapter 1, verse 10. That is, these Jews that bound circumcision and the law on these Gentile members of the church. And here he's talking about these arguments about the law of Moses in Titus chapter 3, verse 9. And of course, the whole point is that the law of Moses has been done away with, so why in the world would these people in the church want to argue about it? Well, that was what Paul was warning Titus about, and he's telling him to steer away from these people, these Jews in the church, who are stirring this controversy. As a matter of fact, in verses 10 and 11, Paul tells Titus how to deal with heretics. He says, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. First of all, when you look at this passage, we raise the question, what is or who is a heretic? A heretic is a person who causes divisions. He is a factious person. A heresy is a division, especially among God's people. Now, that division can be over doctrine. A heretic can be a person who holds a false doctrine, or he can hold to an opinion, but he demands that everybody agree with him, and so he stirs up unnecessary trouble and causes division. But a man can also cause division by his actions and thus be a heretic, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19, that there were heresies in the church at Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians 11, 19, where you find that word, he's talking about the divisions in the church at Corinth during the worship service, especially when they partook of the Lord's Supper. There were divisions. That means there were heresies. And of course, when you have a group of people who hold to a certain idea, and that idea is not in keeping with the Bible, that doctrine is contrary to the Word of God, but this group holds to it anyway, well, the Bible refers to them as a sect. And so in Acts 5, verse 17, the Sadducees are called a sect or a heresy. The Pharisees are called a sect or a heresy in Acts 15, verse 5. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible talks about those who bring in damnable heresies into the church. So a heretic is somebody who divides God's people over a doctrine that he holds to, which contradicts the Bible, or a view that the Bible does not even reveal, but he's going to demand that everybody believe it and everybody follow it. And it refers to a person who divides the church into groups. So you might have a man who divides the church over race. He's a racist, he's racially prejudiced, and so as a result, he divides the body of Christ. He may divide the church over lines between the rich and the poor. He may divide the church because he's wanting to gain power and control, and he segments the body of Christ. This man, the Bible says, is a heretic. Now, how do you deal with a heretic? Well, the Bible says, after the first and second admonition, you reject that heretic. This means the first thing that you do is to admonish him. You confront him. You correct him. You rebuke him. Remember that in Titus chapter 1, verse 13, Paul has already told Timothy to rebuke them sharply. So here we find the first admonition, and then what Paul teaches is that if he won't listen to the first admonition, then you confront him again. That's the second admonition. Remember now, the man that's being dealt with here, the man that's being talked about in verses 10 and 11, is not a man who is faithfully teaching the truth of God's word and people divide as a result. Sometimes people say about a faithful gospel preacher when he preaches the truth and people don't like it, well, he's causing division. Well, Jesus said that he caused division, Matthew 10, 34 through 37. But Jesus was talking about, and I'm speaking of, dividing over the truth. A heretic, on the other hand, causes division over false doctrine and over his own pride. Diotrephes in 3 John verses 9 and 10 is a good example of a man who was a heretic. So we're not talking here about a person who's teaching the truth and people just happen to divide over the truth. We're also not talking about a person who misunderstands the Bible and has a wrong belief, but he's willing to learn. A man can have a wrong idea about the Bible, but he's open to being taught. And he says, well, I need to study that. I need to think about that. That man's not a heretic because he's sincere. A heretic is a man who simply won't listen. And after you've tried to help him, you've gone to him once, you've gone to him twice, and he still won't repent. Well, that's when Paul said to reject him. In verse 10, after the first and second admonition, if he's still going to be a heretic, reject him. So this is basically what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 5 about those false teachers when he said, withdraw yourself from them. And it's basically what he said in Romans 16, verse 17 about those which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. He said to avoid them. And in verse 11, Paul further explains the kind of person that a heretic is. He says that he is subverted. That means that he is turned inside out. He is corrupted. He is perverted. And the New King James says that he is warped. That is, he is warped in his thinking. Paul says that he sins, and apparently he sins intentionally because he refuses correction, and he is condemned of himself. This man condemns himself because he's not consistent. He makes laws for other people, but he doesn't really keep them himself, and so he condemns himself. And so after verses 12 through 15, where Paul gives some personal greetings, he ends this great book of Titus.